Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to chat to my friends about the films and the series that we're loving. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV?
How's it, guys?
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, Rusky and Graham.
How are you guys doing?
How are you doing, dude? I'm doing fine.
I'm very good.
Nice.
I'm very good.
It's getting close, Russ.
It's getting real close. 2 weeks to go.
Yes, see.
Until I get married. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering in to this lovely video store. I've got myself, Graham, and Gad here today for a lovely day's work.
Mm.
Good, honest, hard work. Behind the counter, talking shit about the movies and the series that we're watching.
There you go.
Does it really work if you're having fun?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the spirit. We're not working at the video store. Graham G-Force Hackney, you are an editor.
That's right.
You are also very much the producer of this podcast.
Mm.
And so we value you for that.
Aww.
Gaddy, you are a musician. You
I
play
am.
In the band Short Straw with me.
Yes.
And you also make the best candy.
Oh, thanks, Russell.
Gale's Candy Company.
Tremendous.
And we stock it here at The Bioscope.
Yeah.
And my name is Russell. I am the owner of The Bioscope, which is an independent cinema here in Johannesburg. And once a week, we come together and work a shift here at the video store. One nice little order of business is we got nominated for some awards.
Right.
Hey.
Amazing.
Four nominations.
Yeah, so it was a matter of time before someone really did this, which is that they kind of brought the podcast world together.
Mm.
What is lovely about podcasting is that it's very easy to kind of get started.
Yeah.
It's quite a simple medium. You don't need an army. Who said that? It was a very famous quote. It was a filmmaker. I think it was Coppola who said...
Okay.
If you're a writer, you just need a pen.
Right.
If you're a painter, you just need a paintbrush. But if you're a filmmaker, you need an army.
Yeah.
Which is quite a true quote. But if you're a podcaster, you really just need a mic.
Yes.
To start. And so after many years of this, it was very cool to see that a guild started, the South African Podcast Guild. And they created the Pod List, which... guys like ourselves could put themselves on, and that immediately qualified you for this year's South African Podcast Awards, which are taking place the day of my wedding.
Wild.
So the 2nd of November.
Okay.
And the guild is great. You pay this little amount a month. It's really not a lot at all. And that connects you to a community of people. It's effectively a really well-structured WhatsApp conversation community board thing, which WhatsApp do now really well. And it was cool to just hear from other people because you kind of operate a bit in a silo.
Yes.
And you don't quite know what the right way is to do things and if you know, if you're doing it right.
So
really appreciate them. And then it was very cool to know that this award ceremony is now going to happen.
Mm.
And then it was just such a lovely little... I don't know, a little badge, a little honor that when the finalists came through for all the categories, we got nominated for four.
Yes.
So music and entertainment category, which is great. And that would be the one I would love to have been in.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
It makes
right?
the most sense for us, definitely.
But to get best production quality?
Yeah.
That's Graham. You, bud. That's Graham.
But it also goes to show that like these days... You don't actually need to invest like a huge amount of money to get decent quality sound.
I think
that just goes a lot to like the proliferation of technology. A lot of the times you'll see like video podcasts and stuff and they're all using the same Shure SM7 mics, which are like 10 grand.
Yeah.
These things are like 1,000 rand each.
Yeah.
And they're like...
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference.
No, and also, I mean, it's, I guess, the nice room here. We've
it
got,
definitely
we've got
helps.
A bit of audio...
Yeah.
Acoustics and inside the Bioscope.
Yeah.
Best hosting and presenting.
Okay.
That's quite nice.
Nice.
That's kind of all of us.
Yeah.
And then best innovation and creativity, which I think is cool.
Nice.
I love the idea that Everyone's got their own imagination of what our video store looks like.
Yes, exactly.
And if we've done even the slightest good job in creating that world, then that's awesome.
Creating a little atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so we'll see what happens. Mm. But it really, honestly, is one of those cases where just to be named a finalist.
It's really nice, yeah.
Is such a great...
It's like a little bit of validation.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got a little pep in my step when it came through.
It's an honor to be nominated.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, but before we get underway and do a little Hey Did You Guys See, I just want to let everyone browsing the shops know about one thing, and that is...
Attention all customers, this is to let you know that this year's Horrorfest is soon. It is happening in Cape Town. It is going to be from the 30th of October to the 10th of November. And it is great. It is the best for all sorts of horror fanatics and people who love cool, scary movies. It is 15 new and classic feature films, 32 amazing short films from around the world. They always do the Rocky Horror audience participation screening, which I'd imagine is lots of fun. There is a special old-school 16mm film projection of Todd Browning's 1932 classics Freaks. They're going to do a screening of the much-talked-about Terrifier 3, the 50th anniversary screening of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So it looks like it's going to be lots of fun. They do it every year. The Bioscope in the past has been involved when we can, but that is Horrorfest. And I will tell you where to go. You can get your tickets at quicket.co.za or at horrorfest.info.
All right, so let's get into a little Hey Did You Guys See?
Yes.
Do you want to kick it off, G-Force?
Sure thing. Hey Did You Guys See the trailer for The Monkey?
No, I haven't seen the trailer.
So this is Osgood Perkins' new movie.
Yes.
Because he just brought out Long Legs, so this guy is busy.
Yeah, well, Long Legs came out like a few months ago.
Even so, like to immediately have another movie out in, I think it's out in February?
It's going
to
be next year.
Yes, it's early, early next year.
And I know, I guess the timing of filmmaking is funny and it's all a bit warped.
Yeah.
It's an adaptation of a Stephen King short.
That's right, yes. Stephen King's short story and produced by James Wan.
Okay.
Is it from that same book that Shawshank Redemption's from?
I actually don't know.
I don't know.
Because I know there were four stories in there that he sold for $1 each.
Oh, wild.
And three were made. The Stand, Shawshank Redemption, and the other one, The Green Mile.
Oh, okay.
So, no, The Green Mile sits on its own as a big-ass
book. The Green Mile
book.
Was separate, but I know at least two of the four were made, but yeah.
But yeah, it's coming out. Long Legs, I think, did really well relative to what it is.
Exactly.
Osgood Perkins has been making like a good, solid name for himself. Mm,
as like a horror director.
As a horror director. Yeah.
And this looks like it's a very darkly funny. Like it definitely has like a sense of humor to it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
No, the Bioscope will 100% screen it. Because
I think it looks like a lot of fun.
It looks like a Bioscope film.
Definitely.
Hey, did you guys see? We got a little more information on the Trey Parker and Matt Stone live action film with Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
That's going to happen next year.
Interesting.
Okay, so these are the creators of South Park who have been talking about the fact that they're making this live action comedy. The film, here's the sort of log.
Yeah.
The film follows a black man interning as a slave reenactor at a living history museum. While working there, he learns his white girlfriend's ancestors once owned his ancestors.
Wild.
Hey.
Oh, my Lord.
It could be lots of fun.
It could be incredible.
Yeah. Something to chat about later when we talk about films is the Shane Gillis stand-up special, which is on Netflix.
Right.
And there's also this great whole bit about him going to George Washington's plantation.
Right.
Where, like, we don't talk about it enough, but George Washington had this like dungeon for slaves.
Right.
And there was, and his interaction with the slave reenactor where he's like, oh, please, like, please don't be character. Like, please don't. And these people don't break character. They pretend, you know.
Jeez.
But yeah, this looks like a fun film and it's going to be, they're aiming to release it on the 4th of July next year. Which just is perfect.
Yes.
Well, those guys get satire. I mean, everything.
Definitely.
I mean, South Park is hits the nail on the head every episode.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think that this is cool. And I don't think Kendrick Lamar has ever done any acting, right?
Is he acting in it, not just producing?
I don't know. I believe he's acting in
it. Okay, that's interesting.
I don't know.
I have no idea either.
We don't know. Yeah. I don't think we know anything.
Just tell me it's not a musical.
No one said anything about musicals.
Well, they don't tell you until you get into the cinema.
Yeah,
exactly.
These days.
They trick you.
Can't.
The bastards.
Did you guys see that Superman's dog is going to make its live screen adaptation?
Crypto.
Crypto the super dog.
Yes.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, so in the original comics, the classic Superman comics, he had a dog, Crypto.
Yeah.
And the dog was always called Crypto.
Yeah.
And that must have existed before the term crypto related
to
currency.
Crypto with a K, like Kryptonian.
Krypton,
like the planet. Krypton. Yeah, like
I never thought about that. Crypto.
No, yeah, it's like they named it after the planet.
So how is the dog featured? Is it going to be in the big Superman film coming out?
So they've just released an image of him like sitting, looking over a valley, like on the edge of a cliff, and the dog is next to him. That's been revealed.
And this is for the big Superman film that's going to come out next
year.
James Gunn is the head of the DC universe, he's going to be doing this first movie. So this is like going to kickstart the new DC universe.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's all very exciting. Okay, so this isn't something separate. Mm-hmm. We just now know the dog, Crypto.
Yeah.
Will be in this. And is the dog super?
Yeah,
because he's from Krypton, like Superman.
Oh, they just like they have dogs there.
Yes.
Okay.
Just like they have human beings there.
Imagine a super like human or like a super dog.
Well, they made that whole movie a few years ago, which was all about like it was called Super Pets or something like that.
The League of Super Pets. I saw it. Mark Maron had a voice.
Yes.
A voice.
And it was all like the DC superheroes' pets. So it was like Batman's dog and Superman's dog and someone's cat.
Jeez, imagine
Keanu Reeves was Batman.
Isn't it Wonder Woman's gerbil or something?
Something like that.
But imagine like a dog's primal desire to like hump your leg.
Yes.
But it has like Krypton fucking energy to it. Oh, God.
And I think it's actually James Gunn's dog. I think dog is James Gunn's dog.
Because people are like, oh, it's supposed to be a golden retriever or this or that.
Shut up.
Like, fuck off. It's like we're talking about an alien dog here.
Mm.
Yeah. It can be whatever you want it to be.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, did you guys see the Legend of Ochi trailer?
Mm.
Do you know about this, Gary?
No.
Search it. Look for it.
Yeah.
It'll be in the link in our description. There'll be a link to this trailer. It is an A24 film, mm-hmm. so that immediately means it's going to be different and arty.
Yes.
It's not going to be this kind of commercial big-ass thing.
No.
But it almost plays out a little bit like a kind of E.T. story.
Yes.
So it's like a human discovers this strange, little, cute little animal in a forest. And the part of the world we seem to be in, based on the trailer, is the Black Sea, like around the Black Forest.
Something like that,
So I actually had to Google where, because you hear about like the Black Forest,
yes.
and you're like, or the Black Sea, and you're like, where the fuck's that?
Yeah.
It is between kind of Eastern Europe and Russia.
Okay.
So it's like a very, I think, black, dark, because it can get dark in wintertime.
Exactly.
But it's this cute, bloody little creature.
Yeah.
It looks so cute.
It seems like there's like the people live next to a forest and there's like monsters in the forest that they have to like hunt.
Yeah.
But this is like the baby version.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, they're actually not horrible monsters. They're just animals. And
they're
it's
actually
like,
cute.
This one's trying to return it to its. A child has somehow found one of these babies and is trying to return it to like its habitat.
It looks beautiful.
It looks really cute.
It looks really cute.
Willem Dafoe is in it.
Yeah.
That guy's busy.
Yeah.
Finn Wolfhard is in it from Stranger Things.
Kid from Stranger Things.
Mm.
And then what I thought was interesting about it is that on a small scale, obviously it's quite expensive to do a lot of this CGI in.
Yeah.
And so there was apparently a accusation that the filmmaker used AI.
Yes, yeah.
Specifically generative AI to create this. And then he had to respond to go, no, it was all puppets.
Yeah, I was going to say, to me, it always looked like a little puppet.
Yeah.
The little monster.
But I just
think
it's so interesting that we're in this day and age now where almost pretty much from here on out, everyone will have to declare
yes.
or say whether or not it is or it isn't. But yeah. if it was, is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
Did we talk about that movie with the devil and the TV show?
I know what you're talking about.
With
David
Gastelmachian. Late Night with the Devil.
Yes. Late Night with the Devil. Because that movie got into trouble because they had a TV running in the background, which was supposed to represent the TV, the channel or whatever, and that was all generative.
Yeah.
It was news broadcast. It was like the news channel.
Mm.
But it was all made from AI, and then that came out afterwards, and people were upset. And
yes.
It's just interesting, a debate, and it's just interesting to recognize the fact that we're at that point
yeah.
in creativity where you kind of got to put a stamp on whether or not it is or it isn't. And then
yes.
also what that means, like whether or not that is a bad thing or not.
Yeah.
Like if it looks good and you enjoy the movie, it doesn't matter how you made it.
Well, I mean, the debate around AI has always been it's sourcing information from people who haven't like given permission for their art to be used to create art.
Okay.
That's the thing, because it just kind of like mines the whole internet for this stuff.
Okay.
So the idea is like people that have created their own art themselves, that is now being used to like generate other
Even
art.
If this little creature that's been created looks nothing like
yeah.
anybody else's art, it's been made from that?
Yeah, because AI doesn't create from nothing.
It learns.
It learns. That's the thing. Sure. It can't create from nothing.
So it can learn to take from... I mean, you can even argue someone like Tarantino.
Yeah, well, that's what our brains do.
Is someone who's like just taking from so many things to
yes.
make a new thing where the end result isn't you can go, oh, that is that.
Yeah.
I don't know, if AI gets as smart as Tarantino, we fucked.
But there's also nothing kind of wrong with that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's just an interesting little debate that I think it's cool that that's starting and that discussion mm-hmm. is happening.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool that in a world where anything can be spat out by
yes.
an AI, you do have an A24 film
mm-hmm.
that looks wildly unique.
Yeah.
With characters that are wildly new, and that there's a celebration of it being puppetry.
Yeah, exactly.
And like suit performers. I think that's cool.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, did you guys see the trailer for the new Wallace and Gromit movie?
No.
It looks so cool. I love Wallace and Gromit.
Okay, I was about to say, I've kind of missed that bus, and I recognize and respect Aardman
yes.
and how good that shit is. But I can't say I've watched the whole Wallace and Gromit
okay.
film.
No, I've watched all of them, all the shorts.
I didn't see Chicken Run 2, but I mean, I love Chicken
Run. Not great.
Run,
yeah, really. It's not very good, to be honest. I don't know how like heavily involved Aardman were in that, at least like the original guys. I can't remember the names of the two guys who started the studio. But anyway.
Nick someone.
Yes, Nick someone and someone else.
What is this film called?
It's called Vengeance Most Foul.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of a sequel to like the second Wallace and Gromit shorts.
And what is Wallace and Gromit for those who don't know?
So Wallace and Gromit is they started out as a series of short animated
claymation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and when they were doing it to begin with, it was like literally claymation. Like these days, they do the puppets and everything are like silicone and that sort of thing.
But don't they still use? Didn't they run out of clay on the last Chicken
Run
movie?
That's possible. But I mean, I don't know. I actually have no idea, to be honest about that. Mm. But most of the time these days, the puppets are like metal frames with like silicone bodies and that sort of thing.
Interesting.
But like the original Wallace and Gromit, like you can see fingerprints on them a lot if you get like a decent quality one.
Beautiful, those original ones.
Yeah. So it was like literally made out of clay. And this one...
But the story is?
Is so the very first Wallace and Gromit short was the story...
The Wrong Trousers. Was that one of the...
Yeah, sorry. The second one. You're right. It's the second one, which is The Wrong Trousers. And the first one was the one where they go to the moon? Whatever that was called.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so there was like an evil penguin who was like the villain of the piece. This is now the penguin's back. That's what's called Vengeance Most Foul, because the penguin is back for revenge.
So who's the actual smart one? Because Wallace is the person.
Yes,
the
I think...
Yeah, Wallace is the person and Gromit is the dog.
Correct.
But Wallace is an inventor.
Yeah.
But Gromit is like constantly like just annoyed by like the dumb things
yes.
he does, even though he's making these
like
incredible inventions.
He's smart, but he's scatterbrained sort of thing.
Yeah.
So Gromit is there to kind of like bat everything back into line.
That's so great.
It's a great dynamic.
Yeah.
And he never speaks.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's not a lot of talking.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's almost like those shorts that you would see in the line for the bank. You know, it's like it's made to be these kinds of animations that anyone in the world, like Mr. Bean.
Yes.
It's like it's made to be that kind of content that anyone could watch at any age, anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Which has been its success.
But they had one movie,
Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
That was a feature length Wallace and
Is
Gromit.
Is that the last feature length they did of Wallace and Gromit?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was great as well.
I'm going to steal one of Graham's. Hey, did you guys see the trailer for the new Invincibles? Invincible Season 3, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So it's great because it was like the teaser for the second season.
Exactly.
Where it's just like them chatting in like an old diner.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've got to read. You know, I watch that and I'm like, what is the point of this? And then you go and see like new rock stars do these videos on YouTube where they'll take 24 minutes breaking down a 2-minute trailer.
Right.
And it's like, oh, wow, they actually said so much.
Yes.
And you're like, it's brilliant. Yeah.
Okay, so Invincible is a comic. It's an animated show that is on Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's a very adult, quite violent, quite explicit cartoon of, it's almost a little bit like The Boys, right?
It makes The Boys sort of look like a Disney show.
Sure. Well, I guess with animation you can do that.
Yeah, you can push it even further with animation.
Is it based on its own set of comics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. It's the guy who wrote Walking Dead, wrote Invincible.
Yes, that's right. I was trying to remember who wrote it.
What, the original comics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then now they've made this TV show version and we're into season?
Three. Yes. Yeah. But like that, because they did a similar thing with the trailer in the other one, but the whole point of the trailer was to explain why season two was taking so long.
Yeah.
And they were like, animation takes like a long freaking time and it's really complicated.
And I love the reference because season two was split into two parts.
Yes.
There were four episodes, then like a 6 or 8 week break, and then four episodes. And people were very upset. And they referenced that in this new trailer, like there won't be any break.
Yeah.
Just straight into it.
That is fun. Yeah. Community did something very similar over the 6 seasons of the show because they got canceled and brought back, and then they had a sort of new commissioning editor. They went from one, studio or broadcaster to another one, and they referenced it in the characters sort of would talk about it.
Arrested Development did that as well, because like the last season was cut down from 22 to 18.
Arrested Development were probably the first to do it.
And then they had the housing development that was chopped from 22 houses to 18 houses, and it got chopped again.
Futurama did it as well.
Mm.
Simpsons did it, hey, did you guys see the Martha Stewart documentary that's coming to Netflix?
No.
On 30th of October.
Okay.
I just think it's an interesting time to be able to make like a good documentary about a person like Martha Stewart. Because I think, at least for me, I don't know the beginning part of it. I sort of know the name, right? We all know Martha Stewart was this kind of housewifey TV show person.
Exactly.
Then we know she went to jail.
Yes.
And now we know she's in TV shows with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
And it's like, what a fucking wild woman.
Advertising Bic.
And I just think it's cool because it's this era of like, of really strong women, female characters, what adversity they faced, and them sort of telling their story and how they were like, I refuse to be that.
Yes.
I refuse to do this. She got subject to a whole bunch of scrutiny because of one thing that happened. But if a male had done it, you know, and like I think we're going to have to watch this documentary to get a good sense of it. But I think the whole thing at the time was that what she got arrested for was something that like most people do, and she was just the scapegoat for it, and she was this sort of figurehead that had to kind of take the fall. But a lot of men were doing it, this kind of tax evasion stuff. But I think because of who she was and how kind of perfect, so it'll be interesting to see, and how she sort of just refused to back down, you know, with all that negativity, was like, I'm not going to let this define me.
Yes.
So it looks really interesting.
Okay. Cool.
Then one or two other little things.
Yes.
I saw something great. Did you see that thing that Hugh Grant revealed?
No.
Okay. Hugh Grant has revealed in interviews recently that for 4 years he pretended to be his own talent agent using the name James Howe Early. He created a fictitious email account and even used a Scottish accent on the phone to communicate with industry professionals. I saved myself an absolute fortune, he says. Which is so hilarious. Amazing.
But I mean, he must have been established to some degree at this point.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think this is like, you know, he had his big career, his big movies, the sort of Notting Hills, Four Weddings and a Funeral. And I reckon in between that and his kind of more, what he calls his sort of freak show era comeback, I think in between that, that's when the person goes like, well, I don't want to keep all these people on my payroll.
Yes.
And they take a cut. They take a huge cut.
Definitely.
Even us as Short Straw, myself and Gad, in the band that we're in, we've played with that idea. Right. Where we said, fuck, let's do some of this negotiating ourselves. Yes. But we don't want it to be us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the person to know that they're dealing with a band member.
Yes.
Because then they can like take advantage of it and or sort of bend our arm or we'll feel bad.
Yes.
There is something lovely about having this person in between to negotiate and also be the vetter to go, I'll take it to the band. Oh, the band says no.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Meanwhile, like, it's you. So we've played with this idea. So I just think it's funny that they did it on such he did it on that level.
Well, you know, like, Bill Murray gets
that's
drugs.
Exactly what I was about to say.
I've heard about it.
He has a 1-800 number that you can just phone and pitch your movie to him. And that's how he gets.
And he's got this like sort of answering machine that he sort of goes
to. Agent.
Yeah.
No agent. I mean,
he can afford to do it.
They didn't even know if he was going to rock up for Lost in Translation, I think. Jeez. Sofia Coppola like came just a few days before. Was like, you're up. Like,
thank God.
No, it's a good 10% at least is what your average sort of booking fees can be.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of money.
Yep.
Did you guys see the trailer for Electric State?
I did not.
Okay, this is the new Russo brothers. So this is the people who brought us some of the biggest movies of all time.
Yes, I did.
And see Arrested Development.
And were they involved in Arrested Development?
They did the pilot.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's going to come out on the 14th of March next year, so it's still a little while away. It's got Millie Bobby Brown and it's got Chris Pratt wearing a very interesting hairdo.
Yes.
Ki Kwan is in it.
Yes.
But it looks cool.
Yeah.
And they look like interesting robots.
Mm, it's based, I'm just look it up. It's based on the work of a particular artist.
Okay.
I'm just look up the name. I'll
What's
put a link in there.
What's the movie called?
Electric State.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all based on like these like art pieces that are done by an artist whose name I can't remember, but I'll look it up and put it in the description.
Because they're not robots where they just look like robots.
Yes.
They're these sort of, almost like characters. Like if they were... Yeah. Sculptures, you would buy them.
Yes, they're very like 1950s almost, that sort of design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They almost got like sort of Betty Boop kind of heads.
Yes, exactly.
On different shoes and different arms. And it seems to be like there's a relationship between them and there's a love, sort of a kinship between the robots, but some people don't want robots.
Exactly. Apparently, it cost $320 million.
Jesus Christ.
The movie?
Yes.
Is it a Netflix movie?
I can't remember.
Yeah. No, it's coming to Netflix. Okay. It's advertised as a Netflix movie.
Yeah. But apparently
I think it'll skip cinemas.
Right.
That's too much money.
Way too much money.
Did you guys see that Alexander Payne is suing Elon?
Oh, really?
Because they've copied his robot and car designs from iRobot.
Yes.
Was Alexander Payne behind iRobot?
I don't know.
It's someone, it's another Payne.
I know it was directed by Alex Proyas, I think his name is.
It's Alex Proyas.
Because Alexander Payne is the sort of indie
sideways guy.
Shout out to last week's episode with Tom where I said it was Alexander Payne who did Sideways.
Yes.
But I said it was now I can't remember who the fuck I said it was. But I got
you said it was Alex Proyas.
Brain fart. But I got the director wrong.
Okay.
It was Alexander Payne.
I missed that somehow. Okay, yes.
But the actual robot things are
closest, similar.
But
yeah.
The designs of the cars are like exactly the same.
Oh, right.
And it's like the Elon stands are like oh my God, he's made it true, he's made the future true. And people who are anti-Elon going, plagiarism. It's just so funny how you...
Also, apparently that the whole thing, they did a recent event with like the robots that were like serving drinks and stuff. Apparently it was all fake.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the robots were being controlled by people. It wasn't actually like
AI.
What
was that?
They did a whole thing because Tesla are now making like personal robot assistant things in theory.
Oh, God.
And they had an event where they...
It begins.
They showed off their... entirely self-driving car, so they don't even have steering wheels or brake pedals, and I'm just going, this is a nightmare. Because like if it makes a mistake and something goes wrong, there's literally nothing you can do to stop it.
Yeah, you can't just jump in and press.
There's like a control on like the dashboard, like the screen thing where you can like stop it, but in like in an emergency you have to go through a menu to push to like make it stop. It's like
a terrible idea. By then the car could
by
be so evil that the car could be like, no, no, motherfucker.
Yes.
But Tesla apparently up, if you when you push to indicate, like up is left and down is right. There's so many weird design things in that.
And so they had this cocktail party.
Yes.
Where there were robots serving drinks.
Yes.
And everyone thought, fuck, this is the future.
Yeah.
But it was someone remotely controlling.
Yeah, the robots were being like controlled.
Yeah.
Because they were like responding like instantly and they had like different voices. And it's like, it just wasn't functioning the way we know AI functions.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh no, like there are people like actually speaking.
Or like drone.
For the robots. Yeah.
Controllers.
Yeah.
Wild. Crazy times.
Right?
Crazy times. Should we move on to films?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. So instead of going far into the future to speak about robots serving us drinks at cocktail parties, let's dial back to the 1970s, where there was a notorious serial killer.
Oh, yes.
In real life. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Rodney Alracker. We'll get his name. And he was killing women.
Mm-hmm.
And at the height of his kind of hubris,
yes,
went on a TV show and competed in the dating game. And that and a few other things eventually kind of got him caught.
Yes. Okay.
And so this inspired the film Woman of the Hour.
Okay.
Which is the directing debut of Anna Kendrick.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so the film was in cinemas for a bit. The Bioscope took it for a week.
Okay.
It didn't get a lot of hype and it didn't get a lot of press because it was always destined for Netflix.
Right.
So we had a little bit of a quick and small little window where we screened it. But it's now on Netflix as of this last weekend that's passed.
Right.
So it's sitting there in the top 10.
Nice.
And it's a solid movie.
Okay.
So it was nice to properly watch it. Mm. I usually get the chance to watch all the movies we screen at the Bioscope.
Yes.
But I guess this one is, it's testament to how it kind of snuck in.
Yes.
There wasn't a preview screening that we got invited to.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah. And so I took it because I was like, this sounds interesting.
Yes.
The reviews were pretty cool. And I thought, you know, if it's anything like Blink Twice, which was Zoe Kravitz's female-focused, female-led directorial debut, this could be cool.
Okay.
It's a little jumbled as a movie. We're not quite sure who we're following.
Okay.
It sort of cuts back and forth. I don't think we quite get into the heart and the mind of who this person was. But I'm glad it's made.
Mm.
it's a solid effort.
Okay.
I don't think there's an incredible amount to talk about necessarily, but it is worth a watch.
Okay,
it is over on Netflix.
Cool.
I don't want to give too much away, but I just think it's interesting that there was this dude with the audacity, to appear on a dating show on TV. It's wild.
Yeah, that's insane.
So yeah. There's Woman of the Hour.
Okay.
Do we have any other films that you guys?
Yeah, I saw on Disney Plus Tegan and Sarah Katz, what it's called. Fanatical, the catfishing of Tegan and Sarah.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that it was up and then I mentioned it to you.
Yeah, you
I
mentioned
saw you on Saturday. Then you went and watched it.
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay, so who's Tegan and Sarah?
So Tegan and Sarah are like an indie rock band from the early 2000s that have just gotten bigger and bigger. They did the Everything Is Awesome song on the Lego Movie.
Really?
So that's their biggest hit.
Oh, shit. I didn't know they wrote Everything Is Awesome.
I don't know if they wrote it, But they definitely, the version is credited to them.
Okay.
Interesting. So, and but it's more like arty, serious.
They got some great pop songs.
Yeah.
Like Walking with the Ghost and so they're very cool. They're sisters.
Okay.
And the whole movie revolves around someone who pretends to be one of the singers, Tegan. And she catfishes fans of the band, knowing that they're fans.
Right.
And these fans believe that they're talking to the real Tegan.
This is a documentary about the fact that this has been happening. Okay.
So they go and they basically find these people that think they were talking to Tegan.
Nice.
And they just chat to them and eventually trying to figure out who this person is. And it's just like so sad how even though these people know that it's not the real Tegan, they still hate Tegan because they can't separate these feelings and just the vulnerability. And it's as a musician and knowing how people like sometimes want to talk to you and want to be friends with you and you can't like maintain all of these friendships. It's impossible.
Yes.
Oh, it struck home.
Okay. It's on Disney Plus, hey?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and it's called?
Fanatical.
Okay. Fanatical.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's been happening for about like 10, 15 years.
Jeez. Since the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like before Facebook and like they were on message boards.
Mm.
Like these people, they somehow hacked onto her emails and got demos for songs that no one should have had before.
Jeez. Yeah.
And the wild part is that this catfish person, let's say if it's just one person doing this, must be some sort of fan themselves.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so who also wanted to be one of them.
Yes.
So that's wild. And,
yeah.
And probably gets a kick out of pretending that they are this person, yes, communicating with people that are gushing about them being the person.
I just love that. So fake Tegan, they refer to them as Fegan.
Right.
It's just so ridiculous.
Wild. Speaking of these premiere screenings,
yes,
that get held that we go to, they often happen in all different shapes and forms, just for those who don't know. Some of them are huge media premieres like Deadpool and Inside Out 2, where they sort of take over effectively the whole complex of like the Monte Cassino cinemas,
yes,
or for Deadpool and Wolverine, we were at Eastgate. And
then,
you know, and almost every cinema in the complex is one of the screens that's going to screen this movie that we're all going to watch. The complete opposite is a press screening, which will happen at the distributor's offices. So there's about three or four major distributors here in South Africa, thankfully most in Joburg, and they have these like cinemas in their offices.
Yeah.
And these are designed not for the sort of influencers and the bloggers and the sort of social media people. This is for the press.
Yeah.
So they usually get done during the day. In the past, I tried my best to go to these when I was just wearing the video store hat.
Yeah.
But it was quite a sacrifice to give up a couple of hours on like a Tuesday afternoon
because
there's lots of busy work and things to do at the Bioscope. But now I wear kind of two hats at these screenings because as the owner of the Bioscope, I go to these screenings to check whether or not this is a movie I should be screening.
Yes.
So it's either validating a choice where I saw it coming and I booked it and, you know, the screenings are underway and tickets are on sale.
Yeah.
Or I thought, I don't think this is a Bioscope film, but I want to watch it just in case I've missed it.
Yes.
And a really good example of this was Blink Twice,
where
it was just a smaller, lesser spoken about film. I didn't really see it coming. I went to one of these preview screenings a few days before it was meant to start in cinemas, and I thought, oh, I fucked up. This is a Bioscope film.
Yeah.
I need to, like, what do I do to get this on the Bioscope?
Yes.
So I went last week to Smile 2.
Okay.
Now,
have you seen Smile 1?
That is my question to you guys, because my answer is no.
No.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so I just know that there was this kind of not indie, but it's like a sort of smaller horror where people had these creepy smiles.
I just remember the ad campaign where there were like just people smiling at baseball games.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's like so
a weird, creepy smile. No, and I think they did that very well. And I think that especially with horror, if a horror's campaign is really good,
yes,
it can really go a long way. Like I think Long Legs, for example, had a very famous, very good, like campaign behind it.
Yeah.
So this is now Smile 2. So I went in going, I haven't seen Smile 1. And what are we in for? And I'm kind of busy and there's a lot on the go. So, and what's cool is we've got some friends that we've gotten to know, which are the folks that we always see at these kinds of screenings. So I sat with them. And let me tell you, Smile 2 is fucking scary, but it's not a creepy talk to me kind of under your skin crawling scary. It's a like boo scary.
Right. Jump
scare. It's the jump cut.
Ugh.
And oh my God, I'm not fucking built for this. And I was like, here I am like thinking of all the work I need to do, being cuck scared in literally every scene because you don't trust the edit.
Yes.
You don't trust this film because it could fucking cut at any point.
Yeah.
Till eventually I was like, I know I'm not going to screen this at the Bioscope. Just personally, I don't think it's necessarily one for us, with absolutely no disrespect to the film. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was like, I can't watch this. So after an hour, I was like, I'm out.
Can I have my phone back, please?
I'm out. I was like, I'm sorry. I can't fucking do this to myself. Like, and there's lots of other things to do. So I didn't finish Smile 2.
Wow.
Later chatted to the folks that were there, and they said it was really good.
Okay.
And they said there were some really cool twists to it. And then later reading, what I think is interesting is that this opens up what could be a very long, fruitful franchise.
Right.
So the idea is that you, it's almost like this kind of virus. Once it passes on to you, you see the world in a particular way and you see these smiles. And there's kind of only one way that it could leave you and pass on. You have to sort of pass it on.
Right.
So this sequel is now a new person sort of has it. And she's this kind of pop star. You know, a sort of a, like a modern pop star, like a Charlie XCX or someone.
Right.
Really sort of starting her career. And she gets all kind of fucked up because she now sees these people smiling.
Right.
And ghosts. Okay. Oh, God. Oh, God. So, yeah. Then a day later, I went to another one, which was more of a nighttime, bigger media screening.
Right.
And that is of the film White Bird.
Okay.
Which is now in cinemas. Do you guys know about White Bird?
I think I Googled it. It's like kind of a sequel / prequel.
Yeah. There's a very interesting little connection.
Okay.
But effectively what it stars Helen Mirren.
Yes.
And it is effectively this kind of World War II love story.
Okay. I did see a trailer for this.
How it's connected is rather bizarre.
Because
it says, its full name is White Bird, A Wonder Story. And you're like, what the fuck is a wonder story? So do you remember there was a book called Wonder that came out? And it was about the kid with the deformed face.
Okay.
And his parents were Owen Wilson, but it was a book.
Okay.
And it was all about this little kid going to school and being kind of like teased. And it was all about sort of confidence and finding yourself. Nice. And it was a famous book that became a kind of endearing movie.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I know what you're talking about.
And the kid wore like a space helmet to sort of hide his face.
Okay, yes.
And that was the cover of the book and the movie. One of the kids who teased him.
Yeah.
This is now like his story.
Okay.
So that's the link.
Right.
Where it's like he's now in a new school because he got expelled because he teased the kid with the deformed face.
Right.
And at the start of the movie, he comes home from school and he's trying to fit in. And he has a chat with his grandmother.
Right.
And the whole movie is the story of the grandmother. So it's like kind of stupidly linked to Wonder. To the point where it's like, I don't even think it needs to exist in the same world.
Yes.
Why does that even
need to
matter?
It's like a Star Wars spin-off show about the bartender at the cantina.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think the kid as the sort of bad kid in the first movie sort of had a significant enough role. I can't remember the kid.
Yeah.
But it sort of devalues what then becomes the story of this movie.
Right.
Which is about, you know, Hitler taking over fucking Paris and France.
Okay.
And how the Jewish community in this area of France are now being hunted down and taken. And this one day at school, she had to sort of literally escape.
Right.
And how she's living in this barn, being looked after by her schoolmate, who was this kid who was like a little cripple who most people in the school made fun of. But she develops this sort of innocent and beautiful, lovely relationship with this school kid.
Yes.
And how they look after her in this barn while like World War II is happening.
Right.
It's wild.
Yes.
So it's a very sweet movie.
Okay.
And if you, I don't know whether you need to rush out to cinemas for it, but it's a cool box office kind of film to watch at home.
Okay.
And it's very sweet.
Okay.
It's a very sweet film.
Right.
And I think maybe that's kind of why it wanted to link itself to the other sweet film.
Right.
But and it's obviously written by the same person. But I don't think one needs to sort of draw that connection.
Okay.
But anyways, White Bird, A Wonder Story, is in cinemas at the moment. All it's a sweet film.
Okay.
Cool.
Anything else to chat about movie-wise?
I watched Horizon, An American Saga, Chapter 1.
Oh, God.
Okay, so this is one of Kevin Costner's famous vanity projects that he does so often. So he did Waterworld, which flopped, and then he did The Postman, which flopped, and then his career died for a while.
I didn't know that. Okay, but Waterworld and Postman, was he putting up his own money?
Waterworld definitely, yeah. Well,
okay.
He gave up his points.
I don't think he was a producer
necessarily. I just watched the What Went Wrong. Yeah. Listen to the What Went Wrong.
Because that at the time was the most expensive movie ever made.
Yes, I remember
it,
that.
It flopped hard.
But like he was getting a payday, and then as the budget was running up, he was like, okay, I'm going to give up my points. This movie needs to happen.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But Horizon, which came out this year and premiered at Cannes.
Mm-hmm. It's all his own money.
Which is the start of a very ambitious sort of series of films.
Yes.
Was very famously funded by his own personal wealth.
It, in part, at least. Apparently, he put up $38 million.
Which is a cuck ton of money.
It's a cuck ton of money. So this apparently cost about $100 million to make the first two. So the chapter one and chapter two were both shot back to back in one big chunk. And then they're going to apparently do the same thing with three and four.
It's more.
Yeah, dude. And the first one alone is 3 hours. Oh. And the next one is also going to be 3 hours.
Have you watched any Yellowstone?
Okay, so I was going to say, I'm sure a lot of this is kind of, his career has kind of had a resurgence with Yellowstone.
Yes,
Kevin Costner, he's kind of back in the, yes.
And everyone was like, oh, he's still a handsome man.
Yeah.
How is it different?
Well, okay, I haven't watched Yellowstone. I don't know, what period is Yellowstone set in?
It's modern.
Okay, so this is set like 1800s. This is like, I think it's, apparently all of the films are going to be set across about a 12-year period. And in that period includes the Civil War. So it's obviously 1800s, like settlers are moving into America. It's that period of like Europeans are entering America. They're coming into conflict with Native Americans.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff is happening.
It's a Western.
It's very much like a classic like period Western.
And what I find very interesting is Western is one of those genres that goes so dramatically in and so dramatically out of favor.
Yeah.
There was a point in American filmmaking where 90% of the films ever made were Westerns.
Like the spaghetti Western era.
Yeah, and there was just this time, and it often matches the mood and the appetite and the feelings of what it means to be an American at that time.
Yeah.
Because the American Western very much embodies this idea of like boldly going somewhere and breaking new ground.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, creating the world that you want to create and
fucking...
You know, these cowboys are a little bit like pirates. It's like you can go in and
the term
pillage.
Is manifest destiny.
Yeah, correct.
That's what, and it was basically just an excuse. And this comes up in the movie of the very beginning of the movie or like early in the movie, there's like this town that's obviously in the process of being made, which the movie kind of centers around. That's called Horizon because the one thing that connects all these separate stories. So it's a very much an ensemble film, tons of characters, like way too many characters, and none of the stories really intersect yet.
Yeah.
But the one thing that separates them is over the course of the film, you basically see everyone at some point comes into the contact with these like leaflets that say Horizon, and it's like it's a town that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of saying, hey, come to this place and claim your piece of land and like have a part of America, build a home, all that sort of thing. And I think that's where all the stories are going to like converge, essentially.
Okay.
But when everyone comes to Horizon. And I can't remember where I was going with this. Oh, so early on in the film, you see like a very temporary place of like these clearly, you know, all white European settlers who've built like these tents temporarily, and they're all going to build homes in this place. And then they're just massacred by Native Americans that come in, like a Cherokee group that comes in and just kills them all.
Wild.
Because, you know, they're kind of established. And apparently in the second part, the whole Native American story is explored a lot more. But you kind of get the sense that it's reached the point where Europeans are coming in and claiming places that belong to Native Americans. And they've like reached their breaking point. Like they're just tired of this. And there's like a group from this particular Native American tribe that is split off. Yeah. And they were going like, we're not putting up with this anymore.
Yeah.
Essentially. But then you see the reverse side of that as well, is some of the survivors of this attack are now like hunting for the people that did this. And it reaches the point where one of the people that's helping them track it say like, you know, we can maybe eventually find these exact people, or we can just get you any Indians. And then they do that. They're just like, fine, we don't actually give a shit. They just find a completely random Native American village, wait for the men to leave, and then just massacre everyone. Wow. So you get to see like both sides of us. And this stuff did happen. Like this is kind of grounded in reality in that way.
Should it have been a TV show?
I was going to say, this is exactly my thought. I wouldn't be surprised if like at the end of the day, this winds up as like a 12-part TV series.
Yeah.
Because in theory, it's going to be four three-hour movies. 12 hours. I would not be surprised if when it eventually lands on a streaming service somewhere, it's split up as a TV show.
Where did you see it?
It's out there. You just have to find it.
It's out in the seas. I mean,
because it's been to theaters and it didn't do very well.
But they're definitely making 3 and 4, because 1 and 2, one has not made any money.
So 1 didn't do well. 2, I think, has had like a limited release. And then I think it was in May, Kevin Costner said they had started shooting the 3rd one. And now, okay, to jump ahead a little bit, the end of this one ends with a little, what is basically a trailer for the 2nd part. It doesn't say like, hey, chapter 2 coming soon. It's just like a montage of being like, this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen next. Mm. Apparently 2 ends with the same thing for chapter 3. So they have shot at least some of part 3.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's super well made. The cast is really good.
I was about to say, did you enjoy it?
It's pretty good. It's like I gave it 3.5 stars. It's like that kind of movie. Because it is long. And because the stories never like converge, they don't end. So it is very much like
it's not complete,
you know, like it's not an entire movie. Yeah. But you kind of get, I'm curious to see how they'll make all these stories converge, because they have to. Otherwise, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, and like, the cast is good. Kevin Costner is good. He's not even like the main character. Kevin Costner actually isn't even in it that much.
Do you know how long his can applause was?
It's always something stupid.
Because this is making me think, okay, so this year's can was really interesting.
Yes.
Because we had Megalopolis screen at Cannes and we had Horizon.
Mm.
And I think at the Horizon screening, somebody, you know, some motherfucker's timing these standing ovations and these claps, which is so stupid. Yeah. It's becoming such a stupid thing to measure how long we're going to clap for.
Exactly.
But it's becoming a thing, which is wild. And I think Kevin Costner famously teared up.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I think it's possible. I mean,
this is interesting because what should be this measure of art being celebrated in the greatest sense, which is a room full of discerning cinephiles in Cannes, in that cinema room. I've been lucky enough to sit in that cinema room.
Okay.
It's grand. It's the biggest cinema, most beautiful cinema you could ever imagine in size. Is clapping for like mediocre shit.
Yeah.
Because like Megalopolis also famously hasn't necessarily done that well.
Joker 2 got like a long standing ovation. The last Indiana Jones movie got this like 12-minute standing ovation.
So it's next like, year, May, let's disregard how long everyone fucking
It means nothing.
It's proving to mean nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
This is a movie.
Yeah. And everyone's like, I don't want to be the first guy to like stop clapping.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then I'm the guy that stops clapping.
Some of them going for like half an hour.
But the movie was so shit and they just keep clapping. Funny. Okay.
But yeah, I think it might be worth it. Well, like you can watch it in like chunks. You don't have to watch the 3-hour thing.
Where's
in
it
one
streaming?
Nowhere
for us. Yeah. Graham took his boat.
You can find it. Yeah,
he took his boat out into the waters.
Yes, but it's like it's a great looking movie. Like it's all shot on locations.
Yeah, like and I think he's always been that kind of person.
Yeah, exactly.
To sort of bring back the beauty and the authenticity of it. Mm. I think Dancing with Wolves sort of famously also brought back the Western. And of course, Yellowstone in many ways kind of brought back the Western,
yeah, exactly,
and the idea of the, you know, let's not forget the ranches that still exist. So I think he's always been the champion of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's hoping he pulls it off, yeah. I guess.
I'm curious about it. And like the cast is great. Even freaking Sam Worthington's really good in it, and he's usually crap.
Who's Sam Worthington?
He's Jake Sully from Avatar. That guy who was in, like, there was like a short period of time where he was in like every movie because they thought he was going to be something.
Who's the main dude in Avatar?
In Avatar, yeah. And he's usually not very good, but he's actually pretty good in this.
Okay. Sometimes you know? in the right place and right time.
And with like the right director, like the kind of director that can like get a performance from someone.
Is Cosner directing this?
Yeah.
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 Interesting. Okay. Over into TV shows. Mm. I am watching Shrinking season 2.
Okay.
Which getting is smaller.
Yeah, it's not a literal reference, Gaddy.
No, I've seen the show.
Jason Segel's so big, he must be small.
Yeah. Stars Jason Segel, Harrison Ford.
Okay.
It's very much for anyone who loved and appreciated Scrubs, because it's Bill Lawrence doing another TV show, and with a lot of the cast from Scrubs, funny enough.
Okay.
It is on Apple TV Plus. It is all about our main character, Jason Segel's character. Recently had his wife pass away. He is a psychologist.
Yeah.
And in his practice is Harrison Ford, who kind of runs the practice. And he is getting a bit tired of his patients sort of not advancing or not kind of having some agency in their life. So he tries to kind of rejig his approach to psychology by sort of getting them to sort of do things.
Okay.
To the point where that is not unethical, but is sort of not what a psychologist should do.
Okay.
And the question is whether or not that ultimately will work as a unique approach, and it makes, because it makes him feel better about himself.
Yes.
And whether or not this is all going to work or create more chaos.
Right.
But it's a lovely relationship between him and his co-workers, his daughter, who obviously is also grieving the loss of their mother. So it's set under very dramatic circumstances, but is a very funny TV show.
Okay.
Very quippy, very beloved characters, similar to Scrubs, where each person's got their own kookiness and talks and sort of acts in a way that you kind of love in the same way in which you loved all the characters of Scrubs.
Okay.
Season 1 was very strong and very cool. Season 2 is nice.
Okay,
it's cool. It's off to start. Hopefully it keeps it going.
Okay. So he's obviously getting along well with Apple, because he's done 2 shows for Apple now, hasn't he?
Yeah, the big one was Ted Lasso.
Yes.
And which, isn't the bad, is it
yeah,
Bad
he
Monkey?
Did Bad Monkey as well.
And then he did Bad Monkey, so he's doing well.
Nice.
Bad Monkey's great. Bad Monkey wraps up in a very cool way.
Okay.
Is it finished now?
Yeah, it's done. We're releasing the episodes as we go.
Yes.
I haven't started that one.
Bad Monkey's fun. I really recommend Bad Monkey, which is Vince Vaughn in Florida. It involves fucking chopped off arms and sort of detectives and swamps.
Isn't it based on the novel?
It's based on a book, yeah.
Okay.
One of the guys very famously didn't want his stuff adapted into movies, and he kind of let them do that.
Yeah, no, I didn't recognize the author's name when I heard the author's name. But yeah, Bad Monkey's fun. And it's also one of those, like, it'll take a few episodes to have you believe a certain thing, and then when you eventually see it from the other side, it's hilarious how it's not how you imagined that person to be.
Right.
And there's lovely little twists and moments.
Okay.
And it's Vince Vaughn being Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
Like, in all his, like, great, quippy, witty glory.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Bill Lawrence. Anything by Bill Lawrence is great for me. So. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Nice.
Cool, guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think today's been a lovely day.
Yes.
Hey?
Right.
Cool. All right. Thank you for listening. And we hope to see you again soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Our home base is thevideostore.co.za. And come on back. On Tuesdays is our clerks chat, where it's like this. It's just us. And the occasional Thursday will be a guest episode every now and again. All right. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.